If you can see that, like we, it's not just this, oh, God, you know, meet us in it. It's like where Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest, send forth workers because the fields are white under harvest. But who did those workers become? Yeah, you're right. I know you're saying it boldly. The disciples themselves that Jesus presents the vision to. He basically says the fields are white. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to bring forth workers. Now go out into it. And this is the invitation that we have as Good Life. And, you know, there are times people sort of go, well, you know, I don't want to. And we have that right. But Thanksgiving, and that's what this weekend is for, and we've had this theme this whole month. If you're a guest with us, this month of November has been set aside to recognize and be thankful to God. And this Sunday, the last one of November, is the time where we actually come together and we make an offering. We don't typically do offering calls, etc. Offerings are free will. They always are. They always will be. It is not about coercion. There are practical ways that people can commit to this offering, and I'll move over those really quickly. We still have our tax deductibility through the Australian Sports Foundation. You can use those forms. They are up here by three boxes. If you don't care about tax deductibility, you give through trusts or whatever, there are giving envelopes. If you have coins or dollars or whatever, you may, you know, use. I know people carry cash less and less and less. But you can use those for writing credit card details on, etc. Or there is the website still at goodlife.org.au that you can go to, and you can also do the setup on the ASF form there electronically. I know people sometimes avoid anything to do with money on the internet, and that may be wise, but it's all available there for you. How you handle your offering before the Lord is up to you. But we are really believing God that we are going to continue to move ahead. We introduced a theme in a previous Thanksgiving that said this: we are a part of something great. You see, Thanksgiving is by definition the expression of gratitude, especially to God. Our dictionary says Thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude, especially to God. And we are a part of something great. We are about the advancing of the kingdom of God. What greater cause is there? I genuinely ask that. What if we were to sit down and mull through all of the causes that we could be involved in? What greater cause is there than to advance the kingdom of God, to advance the kingdom of light, to advance the kingdom of love and restoration and peace and hope? What greater cause is there? And it takes many fronts and many manifestations. One of those is what we are called to as Good Life. We're about people. We are about all people. Because from the very beginning, when God created mankind, God said, let us make mankind in our own image. All humanity are bearers of the image of God, and it's broken, but it needs redemption, but all mankind. We are about hope. We're about health. We're about wholeness. Physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And there's that gap idea again that people often come and engage with us through all sorts of needs, physical, mental, emotional, sometimes aware of their spiritual, but more often than not. And they begin this journey through this gap and come to this place of realizing that this is about hope and health and wholeness in my spirit. And I wish I could read some of the emails that I receive, but most of them are this, please keep confidential. But there's stories of restoration, of discovery, of hope, of love, of welcome. We are about each sphere that God has called us to. It is not just about this center. It's not. But this center becomes a launching space for so many things. And it's incredible, even recently. And if you weren't at the AGM, please pick up an AGM report. It was a time of valiant and courageous storytelling of the things that we've seen the Lord do here and in other places. It's, you know, even having opened the doors, just in the gym, numbers have increased. Now, I don't just count numbers, and people say, oh, we're not interested in numbers. Yes, we are. Why? Because all numbers do is represent that which you're interested in. If you're trying to feed, we had a meal at our house the other night, and we went through our drawer and realized we don't have enough cutlery for the number of people we've invited. And I look at that and I go, and what am I doing? I'm using numbers. I'm counting my items of cutlery. I'd say, well, I'm not interested in numbers. Yes, you are. We count numbers all the time. Numbers just represent that which we're interested in. So if I say I'm interested in people, I want to know how many people are around. It's not to impress people, but I have to be interested. And what I'm excited about is even in our gym, since we've opened that door, the gym numbers of people coming as members has increased 120 people in 2 months. Our swim school has increased nearly 120 people in the last 2 months. People who are coming and seeing a venue, but seeing the opportunity for so much more, begin to get involved and then begin a journey of discovery that they start to go, man, why the values? Why does it feel different? Why are we treated like this? Why are we given this? Why? And if you want to pick up one of the cards outside, it publicly tells people why. Because we believe in a God who has purpose for people. That is the call. And I can't be more excited. We are about the enlarged we, not simply entangled in the me. Gosh, I want to see us get our eyes off ourselves and get them on the bigger thing of we. We enlarges. Me shrinks. The more we think about the we, the bigger our lives become. The more we think about the me, the smaller I become. I begin to shut myself off from others. I begin to shut down opportunities. I begin to pull back and I begin to restrain myself. But the more we get our eyes outside, we find our hearts are enlarged, our thinking is enlarged, our spirit is inspired, and we are enlarged. Gratitude and generosity go hand in hand. I'm going to read a little article that I was reading. Now, I love neuroscience and I love brain science, and I'm not a scientist, but mystery enthralls me. I was reading, and I read sort of broadly, but Psychology Today was this article. A recent article examined a variety, and don't worry too much about all the words, but interdisciplinary studies that identified the roots of why compassion, cooperation, and being a part of a community are central to both our individual and collective survival. Compassion, cooperation, and being part of a community are central to our individual and collective survival. Ultimately, it appears that, listen to this, loving kindness, this is Psychology Today. It appears that loving kindness trumps Machiavellianism. Now, Machiavellianism is defined as a cynical disregard for morality. So, Psychology Today says it appears that loving kindness trumps a cynical disregard for morality and a focus on self-interest and personal gain. Or an every man for himself attitude. Do you hear that? Psychology Today is coming out and saying, well, look at that. Loving kindness trumps self-interest. I reckon the scriptures have said that for a long time.
In this new study conducted at the University of Southern California, researchers used MRI brain imaging. And I've chosen this image of the brain. It's the, you know, it's all of the neurons firing. And these are under, you know, they do all these imaging. And it's an imaging map to the neurobiological correlates of gratitude. The objective of this study was to examine a wide range of gratitude experiences in the context of gift giving to identify neural correlates of gratitude at the whole brain level. As we'll leave this image up here. Listen, gratitude is defined as the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Cicero, millennia ago, proclaimed that gratitude was the mother of all virtues. Recent studies have shown that generosity and gratitude go hand in hand, both as a physiological and neurobiological level. Generosity and gratitude are separate sides of the same coin. They are symbiotic. It goes on. Gratitude is a fundamental thread that holds the tapestry of our social fabric together. Let me say that again. Gratitude is a fundamental thread that holds the tapestry of our social fabric together. You want to know why society is unraveling? You want to know why our society is unraveling? Then read Romans chapter 1, because people refuse to glorify God or give Him thanks. Foolish hearts become darkened. I'll come back to that. Feelings of gratitude nurture our individual mental health and fortify our bonds with other people. The personal and interpersonal benefits of gratitude occur at both a physiological and neurobiological level. The writer of this article and researcher says this, that he and his colleagues found that when the brain feels gratitude, it activates areas responsible for moral cognition, subjective value judgments, fairness, economic decision-making, and self-reference. When gratitude fires, it activates areas responsible for feelings of reward, moral cognition, subjective value judgments, fairness, economic decision-making, self-reference. And it goes on to say that true gratitude develops true altruism, which is the selfless concern for the well-being of others. Gratitude, true gratitude, creates action and it actually ignites our brain towards others. And this is why I believe when you read the scriptures, it says give thanks and do something about it. Give thanks and declare. Give thanks, take action. Give thanks, give. Give thanks, bring an offering. Give thanks and do. We can't just sit around thinking grateful thoughts. It is a symbiotic relationship that we engage in activity. You look at that and go, really? Yeah, Romans 1 says the refusal to glorify God and give thanks leads to a darkened mind. The color like just goes out. And you end up with this grayscale, darkened, non-firing, self-centered brain that slowly dies. The scriptures talk about it. And yet we, as the followers of Jesus, the believers in the scriptures, when people talk about giving and gratitude, and we sort of shrink back. Not all of us. Of course the scriptures talk about it. Man, I love, we just read in Philippians chapter 3, Paul's value adjustment in the revelation of Christ. Paul's value adjustment in the revelation of Christ. Paul writes this, Philippians 3, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost everything. I consider it garbage
refuse, waste, that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that is based on faith. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His suffering, even to become like Him in death, but somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. But not that I've already obtained all this. I love Paul's honesty. I haven't obtained it all already. I haven't already arrived at my goal, but I press on. I press on. To press on is to engage repetitively. Engage again and again. Pressing on is not a one-time activity. It is a day after day after day, experience after experience, commitment. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on towards the goal for which Christ took hold of me. We are constantly building, but what are we building? In our own lives, we are constantly building. What are we building? We're constantly doing. But what are we doing? We're constantly spending ourselves, but what are we spending ourselves on? Look at those things. What are we building? What are we doing? What are we spending ourselves on? Is it something that's going to last, or it's something that's going to rust away and decay and be gone? I felt really challenged personally this Thanksgiving. I mean, being in the midst of this place day after day, I feel the call of vision so vibrantly. The faces I look into, the stories I hear, but not just here. I'm an avid news reader. I am moved by what I see in this world. I'm moved by the decisions we're making in our nation. I'm moved to be a voice of difference when we're using topics like safe schools, which is one of the most destructive programs our children will face. I am moved when I read about what our government has done when we're talking about, you know, loving those who are refugees and aliens and foreigners, and we try to hide it away, and we do it to maintain our own securities. And people would say, oh, that's wise, but goodness, we've got to look at our hearts. I'm moved by what I see happening in this world. I'm moved when I read about the destruction of innocence and terrorism. I'm moved. And I want to be a part of something that's making a difference. Luke chapter 12, it's a horribly challenging illustration that Jesus gave. Jesus said this to them, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. What Jesus is saying, there's lots of different kinds of greed. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions. And he went on to tell them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. You might not think you're rich. Go online and search the rich list and just do a personal evaluation. That's worth doing this afternoon. Therichlist.com. A rich man had a yield, an abundance, and he thought to himself, what do I do? I actually need a better space to store what I have.
He said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down the barn I had. I'll build a bigger one. And there I'll store my surplus. And I'll say to myself, you got plenty now, laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, be merry. But God said to them, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who gets what you've prepared for yourself? And then Jesus says this, and this is where it's just, it's like, oh, wow. He says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. And you sort of swallow. And I was challenged, and I really, thinking about what I was going to do, what my wife and I were going to do this time around, I'm challenged in the days we live in. How are we going to live? God forbid that we live like that. I mean that. God forbid that we live like that as His church, as His representation of Himself on this earth. The stories that we got to tell are stories of hope in the AGM. Ruth Jeffs spoke on one of the dreams and the hope of, you know, bringing our life house, which is deliberately building into the social fabric of our community and our region with generosity, and the dream to bring life house down here onto the property, that it's not in a dark basement down a long driveway that's dangerous to people. We want to make a difference. We want to build into the social fabric. Yes, we have a debt on this building. Yes, we want to continue to expand. Yes. I don't ever want to pull back. I don't ever want to sit back and go, man, we've attained, we've achieved, we've got enough, we've done enough. Don't become weary in doing good. One day we'll stand before a Lord who, my prayer is, will look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now enter your rest. Let's not just store up things for ourselves here on earth. It's a lifestyle. And giving is not just about our treasure. We are called, honestly, to give in every way. And here's a little reminder if you turn your face to the screen again. The restorer of streets and dwellings. Be known as the restorers of hope, the restorers of life. And I said it's not just about our finances, it is a change of heart. It is a life that is spent in the calling of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For Paul writes and he says, everything is a gift from God. Everything is a gift from God who called us back, brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has in turn given us the task of reconciling people to Him. For God in Christ was reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. Why do we do things the way we do them? Why do I believe in excellence? Why do we believe in beauty and generosity? Because I know that the way God gave Himself to us was not a stingy way. God gave of everything He had. And we are called to be ambassadors of that kingdom, God making His appeal through us. And we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This Thanksgiving, there's the gap. There's the gap
between people and God. There's the gap. There's a huge gap that we're facing with, and we announced it a couple of months ago now with Greg and Sarah Forrest stepping back from children's ministry to return to teaching. It's a great thing they're doing. Greg's pursuing child psychology, but we got a huge gap right now, and we're really praying into it. We're taking action so that we don't hit a hiccup. But man, these are big things that are gaps for us. We've got opportunities to volunteer, to serve, to be ambassadors, and to participate financially. I'm not ashamed of that invitation, because it will allow us to continue to sow into the very fabric of people's lives in gratitude and generosity. As we close, I'm going to take time in worship to decide how we're going to respond. I ask you the question, how will you respond? God, as we take this day of thanksgiving, may our minds be filled with light. May our thoughts be filled with life. May our actions be a bridge of hope, health, wholeness to those in our immediate community, to the uttermost parts of this earth. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. During this song, these songs, there are offering boxes at the front. There are giving envelopes. There are ASF forms. Worship the Lord as you choose.